satisfy your mouth with good things. I will lift your soul with gladness and joy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So be strong in my joy. Let my joy flow like a river out of your innermost being. Let the floodgates be open and let joy flow, and strength will come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. We're continuing our series about experiencing God's presence. How many know God's presence needs to be experienced? And there is a reality to God's presence. It's something that can be seen and heard. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, here Jesus is talking right before he is about to ascend into heaven. And the disciples were asking him if he was going to restore the kingdom at this time. And he let them know this phrase. He said, he told them that it's not, you know, you're not going to know the times or the seasons, which the Father put in his own hand. Then he said this in verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say, shall receive. Now, when Jesus makes a statement like that, why would anybody think that they would not receive what God says? When Jesus himself says, you shall receive what? Power. After that, what? The Holy Ghost is come upon you. I want you to know that the Holy Ghost is associated with God's power. Now, he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. We shall testify to Jesus. And in that particular case, it was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where? Uttermost parts of the earth. In Uganda. In Palmyra. See, God wants people who can witness about him, who can testify to him, who can proclaim his goodness. But to do that, we need power. And the power generator for the Christian is the Holy Spirit. He is the power of God. He is God's powerhouse. Okay? So what are you going to receive? After who comes on you? The Holy Spirit. When you come in contact with the Holy Spirit, you're going to experience power. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. See, the place that we're going to visit tonight is the place of the upper room. It's the place of power, where God poured out his power on all flesh. All right? So Luke 24 and verse 49. And the Bible says this. This was in conjunction with the couple that were walking on the road, the two guys that were walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus had just said to them, he said, in verse 48, he said, you are witnesses of these things. And then he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father. Everybody say the promise. Have you ever known God to break a promise? No. Okay? So he said, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem, how long should you wait? Until you be endued with power from where? On high. Say the highest power. There's no power greater. There's no power stronger. There's nothing. Nuclear power is not as powerful as this power. Atomic power is not as powerful as this power. Amen? This was a promise. God always keeps his promise. He said, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. He wants the power on you. He wants you to be clothed with power. See, just like I put on this coat tonight. See, I realized that I had a spot on my shirt, so I had to change my shirt. And thank God I have a wardrobe in there. Amen? But just as I put on this coat, all right, I put my arms in the sleeves. This is what God means when he says he wants to endue you with power. He wants to give you an endowment. He wants to clothe you in power. And that power will make you speak. That power will make you proclaim. That power will make you testify to Jesus. Okay? So, Jesus said, you shall receive power. And he also said that I will send the promise of my Father upon you. Wait till you be endued with power. See, the promise brings the power. Okay? So sometimes when God gives a promise, there is a waiting period. All right? What do you do while you're waiting for God's promise to arrive? You pray, you worship, you praise. Okay? All right, let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 1, all right? And let's look at the atmosphere that was conducive for God's power to flow in it, okay? Verse 4, they were assembled together. Everybody say assembled together. See, in Christianity, there is some assembly necessary, right? You know, when you get something that you got to put together, it says some assembly required. Right? There is an assembly. Are we gathered here tonight? Have we assembled together? Okay. So, because we're assembled together, there is an atmosphere here that God can work in, that God can flow through, that God can do things in. Okay? Because God works in atmospheres. All right? Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. Okay? Let's just take a moment here. Let's go to John chapter 7 for just a moment. We're going to come back to the book of Acts, but let's go to John chapter 7. All right? And let's look at verse 37. John 7, 37. Jesus was at a feast. It was a celebration, and the last day of the feast, you know, the Jews know how to party. Their parties lasted for days. Amen? And there's no party like a Holy Ghost party. Okay? So in the last day, verse 37, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, everybody say thirst. I have a question for you tonight. Are you thirsty? How many are thirsty? Not for water, not for soda, but for a spiritual satisfaction that just fills your soul. And once you get full, you know when a cup, you know how you can tell a cup is full? If you start to pour more in it, stuff comes out. See, you're not really full until something is coming out of the container. Okay? So, if any man, who's that to? Now, he's not talking gender. He's talking mankind. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. So if you're thirsty, what do you have to do? You have to come. Who do you have to come to? You have to come to Him. You've got to come to the source, right? Someone once said it this way, stay by the spout where the glory comes out. Okay? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and what? Drink. Well, how do you drink spiritually? You must open your mouth and you must let words come out of your mouth. When you're praising Jesus, you're drinking. When you're exalting the name of Jesus, you're drinking. When you're declaring the word of God, you're drinking. Okay? So when you thirst, there's got to be some movement of your mouth. You don't drink through your nose, do you? You don't drink through your ears, do you? No? Where does drinking take place? In your mouth. Okay? So, you got to thirst, you got to come to Him, and you got to drink. Then, verse 38, you must believe. Okay? There has to be an element of faith. You must believe on me, how? As the Scripture has said. Okay? Notice, He didn't say, you must believe on me as the preacher said. He didn't say, you must believe on me as you feel. He did not say, you must believe on me as you have experienced. Why? Because your experience may differ from the Scripture. Your feelings may differ from the Scripture. Even the preacher might differ from the Scripture. Come on now. There's some preachers out there that don't preach the word. But not here. And not in Uganda. Amen? So he that believes on me as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? One river? Rivers. Is rivers more than one? Rivers of what? Living water. Who is the source of living water? It's Jesus. How do we know that? Because he met a woman in Samaria. And he was at a well. And he said, if you drink from this water, you'll thirst again. But he said, if you drink from the water that I give you, you will never thirst, because it will be in you a well of living water. So, when you thirst, when you come to Jesus, when you believe Him as the Scripture have said, what's going to happen? Out of where? Your belly. Everybody put your hands on your belly. All right? Out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. Let me ask you a question. How do we produce hydroelectric power? Does anybody have an idea? Hydro is what? Do we produce power from still water? What does the water have to do to generate power? It has to move, okay? See, he says, out of your belly will flow. Out of your belly will move what? Rivers. Rivers of living water. They're going to flow out of your belly, and as it flows out of your belly and comes out of your mouth, that's movement. When the water moves, power begins to generate. Okay? And so God put within every believer your very own power generator. Hallelujah. See, I've got a generator on the inside of me. And it works. It works by living water moving. Okay? All right, let's go back to Acts chapter 1. All right. Now, okay, verse 5 of Acts chapter 1. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be, everybody say, shall be, baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Say, I shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? It means to be immersed with the Spirit. Okay? When you're baptized, you're immersed, right? Because baptism represents death and resurrection. Okay? So, they were assembled together. Then they recounted the promise. They recounted what John said. John was a forerunner. He said, I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So not only are you going to have water, but you're going to have fire added to your water. You're going to have hot water. Amen? When you add fire to water, you get hot water, right? Okay? Verse 13. Okay? And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip. Everybody say upper room. Power always flows down, not up. It was an upper room. Because where was the power going to come from? On high. So they were in an upper room. How many know God wants to take you up tonight? He wants to take you higher tonight. Okay? So they were in an upper room. All right? Verse 14. These all, everybody say all. Do you think anybody in the upper room was silent? Nope. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now, isn't that interesting? His brothers were finally on board with who he was. They finally accepted him as the Son of God, and they were in the upper room with their mama Mary. And they were about to receive the promise, but they were in the upper room, they were assembled together, they were praying and supplicating. All right? And they could sense something in the air, in the atmosphere. They knew they were in the right place, okay? And then they took care of some church business, all right? And let's go to chapter 2 and verse 1. So in this atmosphere of assembling together, praying, believing the promise, looking unto God, there was an atmosphere where God could move and affect everybody. How many know that God is interested in infecting everybody? I mean, affecting everybody, not infecting everybody, right? Okay. Now the day came. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All right? There's about 120 of them in this place. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. You know, there's a time of waiting, but then there's a time when a suddenly comes. A suddenly is God's interruption of your waiting. All right? A suddenly, you're like, you know something's going to happen, but you didn't know exactly when it happened, but now it's happening suddenly. Woo, it's taking place right now. Okay? There came a sound from where? From heaven. We sang about that tonight. Heaven's sound can reach earth. Okay? There came a sound from heaven. A sound is something you hear. Right? Okay? As of a rushing mighty wind. We've all seen the effects of a tornado. How many has ever seen a rushing mighty wind, right? The wind shows power. The wind shows force. The wind shows might, right? And you can see the wind affecting whatever it's blowing on, right? Some of you ladies, you get into a big gust of wind and it messes up your hair and it gives you a bad hair day, right? Okay, there was a sound from heaven. It was like a rushing mighty wind, like a freight train. And it filled the house. Everybody say it filled the house. The house is the atmosphere. The house is the container. Okay? Are we in a house tonight? Is your body called the house? Did you know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? A temple is a house of worship, isn't it? Okay? It filled the house where they were sitting. Aren't you glad you don't have to stand to be affected by God? It's not so much about your position in your body, but it's about the position of your heart, who you believe in. You got to activate it by faith, okay? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. This is something that you see. So they heard something and they saw something, right? And this fire, how many did it sit on? All of them. Say, I have fire on me. You're a burning lamp. Fire is another example of power. Okay? You got wind, you got fire. And verse 4. And they were all filled. Everybody say, all filled. Not one of them was disappointed. Not one of them left empty. Not one of them didn't get what they expected. They were all. If God moves tonight, how many people do you expect to be touched? All. Say, I'm getting in on that. Say, I'm getting what God promised to me in Jesus' name. Say, I'm not leaving here empty. This Wednesday night, I'm going to be filled with some power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And how do we know that they were filled? What evidence is there that they were all filled? They were all filled and began to speak with tongues. What is tongues? Tongues are languages. It could be heavenly languages. It could be earthly languages. But it is a language that you've never studied. It's a language you've never learned. But it's a language that you are supernaturally empowered to speak. How many were filled? How many spoke? Okay, so you're talking about 120 people. Now we have less than 120 tonight. So if God filled 120 then, do you think he can fill us tonight? Yeah, he doesn't have to work as hard because there's not as many people. Amen? What did they speak? Or let me ask this way. Who gave them the ability to speak? The Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. How many has ever had a message dictated to you? Write this down. Maybe when we were all in class in school, a teacher would say, write this down. And she would verbally tell you what to write down, and then you would write down what she told you, right? She was giving you the utterance. You were doing the writing, but she was telling you, or he was telling you, what to write down. Okay? The Holy Spirit was giving them the words. They didn't have to come up with the words themselves. They didn't have to think about what they were going to say. They just said it. Because the Holy Spirit was giving them the words. He was, in other words, he was dictating to them. Say this. And they were saying something that their mind didn't understand. Okay? Now, this all has to do with power. This is the place of power. Okay? This is the place where God connected these believers with power. Okay? So, power showed up in a sound, power showed up in a wind, power showed up as fire, and power showed up because all were affected. Listen, God's got so much power that he could fill this room and have more than enough to spare for every nation, for every tongue, for every tribe. God is not going to run out of power. God's never had a power shortage. God's never had a power outage. It's just our connection to the power has been out, but God has never had a power outage himself. Okay? So, verse 16. Peter gets up and he preaches and said, but this is that which is the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, I don't know how many years it was when Joel gave his prophecy, but there was a lot of years in our earthly time that God took to fulfill his promise, but it doesn't matter how much time passes, what God said is going to happen whether you believe it or not. So, this was a fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 22, Peter said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Everybody said Jesus was a man. He was a man who was approved by God. Guess what? We're men, we're women, and guess what? We're approved by God too. So what happens to Jesus can happen to us because we're joint heirs with Jesus, and when we have faith in Jesus, we receive his benefits. Okay? Are you getting excited yet? I'm about to take off here. So, Jesus was approved, a man approved by God among you by this, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. Miracles, signs, and wonders are to help people. God does miracles, signs, and wonders to help you. Say, God's got a miracle, a sign, and a wonder for me. He does. Because those things, he did them in the midst of people. He did them to help people, all right? And so he was approved by God with signs, wonders, and miracles. And he said, as you yourselves know, verse 33, it says this, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that Jesus also received the Holy Ghost too? When he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, what also came on Jesus? You know, John saw the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And the heavens opened up with a sound, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And it wasn't until he was baptized did he perform any miracles, because after he was baptized, the Bible says the first miracle that Jesus did was he turned water into wine. In other words, he did not do a miracle until he was baptized with fire. And just like Jesus was baptized with fire, so you and I can be baptized with fire also. Okay? Because we're at the place of power. We're visiting the place of power, and God's presence manifested. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Is he your Lord? Christ means the anointed one. So, he is the Lord. He is the anointed one. He is my Lord, and he has anointed me. Say, Jesus is my Lord, and he has anointed me. Anointed means authorized to use his power. Permission granted to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead, to freely give because you freely receive. Say, I have been granted permission to use God's power in my life, in my family, in my sphere of influence, in Jesus' name. God wants people who are thirsty and hungry for his power, who will take his power and use it in everyday life. Because the power is to witness. The power is not to exalt an individual. The power is not to say, look at me, look at me, look at what I can do. No, the power always exalts Jesus when it's done right. It always lifts up the name of Jesus. Okay, verse 38. Then Peter, see, they were touched in their heart. Okay? Peter said, verse 38, repent. Everybody say repent. I'm so glad that repentance was the first message John the Baptist preached. Repentance was the first message Jesus preached. And repentance was the first message that Peter preached. So repentance is pretty important. It's God's U-turn. Repentance is God's U-turn. It causes you to go back where you came from. Repent and what? Be what? How many? Everyone in who? In whose name? In the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and, everybody say and. See, when you repent of your sins, you get an added bonus. You get a bonus that Jesus included in your salary that you didn't know it, but now he's telling you about it. Repent for the remission of your sins and you shall what? Receive what? The gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Everybody say he's a gift. What do you do with a gift? There's only two things that you can do with a gift. You can give it and you can receive it. Right? There's only two things that you can do with a gift. So God wants you to have this gift. Do you realize that Peter said the same thing that Jesus said? You shall receive. Say, I shall receive. You're going to what? Why are you going to receive? Who told you that? Jesus did, right? As the scripture said. If the scripture says you shall receive, then guess what? You might as well just receive. Don't fight it. Just receive it. Don't doubt it. Just receive it. I'm going to read this again, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's being born again. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, verse 39. For the promise, same thing as the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise and the gift of the Holy Ghost are the same thing. Is unto you, say, he's for me. And to your children, so the Holy Ghost is for children too. It's not just for adults, but it's for children. And get this, and to all that are afar off. To how many? Who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How many here has the Lord God called you? He's called us all to himself. So guess what? You are in the group of receivers. Okay? You are in a position to receive the gift that God gave. And so let me see if I can do this really quickly. Okay? Power flows from the Spirit, Jesus Christ, and his message, which is the gospel. Okay? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Okay? In order to, you've got to believe on God's power. Paul said, I did not come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came to you with demonstration and the Spirit of God, that you put your faith in the power of God. Say, my faith is in God's power. You've got to have faith in the power. You got to believe it. You got to believe it's for you. You got to believe that you can use it. You got to believe that God will tell you how to use it. He'll show you how to use it. Okay? And you got to speak power words. Don't turn there, but Romans 15, verse 17, it says, therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God, for I will not speak of those things which Christ has not accomplished. Stop talking about what God hasn't done and start talking about what God has done. Stop talking about what he hasn't done and start talking about what he has done. Okay? So you got to speak power words. Then you got to demonstrate God's power. All right? How do you demonstrate it? You see a coworker. They're sick. You say, can I pray for you? They say, yes. You say, in Jesus' name, be healed. You just demonstrated that power. See, you take an open door as it's given to you. All right? Everybody hold up your hands. Say, these are holy hands. I can lay these hands on the sick, and the Bible says they shall recover. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe it? Amen. All right? Then you got to live by God's power. 2 Corinthians 13:4. He was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. The power will help you live a victorious life. Amen? So you got to live by God's power. You got to demonstrate God's power. You got to speak power words. You got to believe in God's power. And you got to know that power flows from the Holy Spirit, from God, and from Jesus. This power is available to everyone. God wants you powered. And tonight, we are in the place of power. Amen? And maybe you need to overcome something or someone. God will give you power to do it. God will give you power to kill giants. God will give you power to take territory. God told Joshua, he said, every place of the sole of your foot will tread shall be yours. He told Joshua, he said, no man will be able to stand against you all your days. Power is here tonight, folks. It's power from on high. God wants to fill you full of power. Can someone get me a cup, please? And that bottle of water there. Just give me one of those green cups, okay? And that bottle of water there. Thank you. Now, I'm not going to do this because I don't have a bucket here, okay? But how many think that if I kept pouring this bottle into this cup, what's eventually going to happen? Okay? I will know. Always test the lid. This cup is not going to be full until it starts to overflow. So how do you know when you're full? When you start to overflow. When that which is on the inside starts to come out, you know that you're full. And when you start to come out, see, because why does God want you that full? See, if I was just to fill this cup to the brim, it only affects this cup, right? But if this cup overflows, it affects more than itself. God wants you to affect more than yourself. He wants you to affect everyone around you, so He wants to douse you so full that you overflow. So what happens when you come in contact with power? You're going to overflow and you're going to speak. And you got to do that by faith. Amen? You've got to know that God gives it to you. You've got to know that God wants you to have it. And you've got to know that God will work through you. But then you've got to let it flow. Amen? Don't turn the faucet off. Our tendency when something is overflow is to, oh, stop, stop, stop. No. We need to get into the habit when God's overflowing, we just need to take our hands off the faucet and let it flow. Don't cover the cup. Don't shut the faucet off. Just let it flow. God wants to flow. Just like a river flows. A river moves. It's constantly moving. Amen? That's what God wants for us. He wants His Spirit to constantly be moving in us like this. And eventually, woo! It takes off. So, enough talk. Do you have a question? Come up here right now. Sit down right here. Sit down right here. Here's what the scripture says. You do not have, God gives you a sound mind. Father, in Jesus' name right now, I thank you, Father, that you clear out all junk that's not of you. I command the lies of the enemy that says you have to lose ability comes to naught in the name of Jesus. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind in Jesus' name. I call your mind sound, whole. You can think. You can memorize. You can remember. Everything is clear. The fog has lifted in Jesus' name. Now, I know some of you have already been baptized, and that's okay, but if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire, God wants you to come up right now. And for those of you that have, I want you to come up, and I just want you to let that gift start to flow right now in the name of Jesus. All right? But if you've never received the baptism of fire, God wants you to have it. It's very important for believers to have it. He told his disciples, don't do anything until you've been endued with power from on high. God wants to endue you with power, all right? So if you've never been endued with power, and guess what? It's okay if you haven't. There's a first time for everything, isn't there? Amen? There's a first time when you got your driver's license. There's a first time when you went to high school. There's a first time for everything. So it's okay to have a first time, all right? But God will give you many more times after the first time, all right? So if you'd like to be filled with the Spirit of God tonight, you've never been filled, I want you just to come up right now and receive from God in Jesus' name. For the rest of you, I want you to use your gift and let the rivers flow in the name of Jesus. Just stir up your heart. You know, Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is within you, amen, and just let the rivers flow in Jesus' name. But it's important to be filled. And if you want to be filled with God's Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, come up right now in Jesus' name. All right? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just like you have to come out, God doesn't. So I'm going to for you, and you're going to receive it. So Jesus said, you shall receive. All right? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that Julie has a hunger and a thirst for you right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, receive. Cause her to receive your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I want to say to Jesus, Father, I thank you that you want me to have this awesome gift.